As we approach the end of 1976, it seems appropriate for me to direct my remarks to the Church's participation in the United States of America's observance of the bicentennial celebration. I have had the exciting experience for the last 3 years of being involved with the Church Committee, organized to assist in planning for the proper observance of this event. During the last few weeks, we have been assembling a scrapbook to record the history of our activities of this celebration. How I have thrilled with the accomplishments each day as new pages have arrived. Each piece helps build a beautiful picture of how our involvement has satisfied a need, told a story, taught a lesson, and helped to build an appropriate observance of this great event. The bicentennial on a national scene was characterized as a backyard celebration, for there was no center. It happened in the villages, the towns, and the cities throughout all the land. The same could be said about the church. The credit for the accomplishment belongs to the individual families, the wards, the stakes, the missions, and the districts. Now let me thumb through some of these pages of this incomplete scrapbook with you and highlight some of the accomplishments for you, realizing that still a full one-fourth of the history of this year is still to be written. The first section I turn to is entitled Education. It is filled with books, posters, magazines, lesson manuals, stories, pictures, and descriptions of exciting events. I read an account of 60 special education weeks held throughout the land, designed to teach the participants of a love for country and the requirements of being a good citizen. I see the Ensign, the New Era, and the Friend magazine, replete with informative articles about the history of our country and our hope for the future. There is an account of a special freedom shelf set up in our bookstores of new and old histories of our country. It is interesting to note that one of these histories, especially written to tell the unique story of the restoration of the gospel as a part of the establishment of this nation, had a distribution of thousands of copies. I see copies of a poster series designed to teach God's hand in the founding of America. It was distributed and displayed in our chapels throughout the country. Most noteworthy has been the distribution of 821,000 copies of a special supplement to the Family Home Evening Manual. The demand for this manual far exceeded our supply. In homes across America, beautiful lessons have been taught on the purpose and destiny of this land. There is a section in the scrapbook entitled Public Communications. Here we find stories of videotape presentations displayed in our visitor centers entitled God Bless America, clippings from 1,075 newspaper articles in the United States dealing with how our church was celebrating the bicentennial, pictures of 89 dance festivals featuring dances of the colonial period, the largest having 9,000 participants and playing to somewhere between 80 and 90,000 people. There are pictures of floats sponsored by local church units in parades that were held in the nation. We have pictures of pageants centered around or incorporating a bicentennial theme. This land of liberty in Washington, D.C., and other pageants in Nauvoo, Oakland, Independence, Manti, Cody, Hill Cumorah, and of course, above all other lands in Salt Lake City. Special billboards told the story of our belief in America. One city even installed a dial telephone number, M-O-R-M-O-N-S. By dialing this number, you could get information about the great American family and the church-sponsored events for the bicentennial. Special mention should be made of the contribution of the Mormon Youth Symphony and Chorus. Their outstanding program, America, 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 was telecast over many public broadcasting stations. How thrilled we were to watch it when we were traveling in the East in both Boston and New York this summer. It was exciting to see our Mormon communities participate in holding town meetings to discuss common opportunities to improve their cities and towns. Many letters were received from communities thanking the church for being a part of their bicentennial celebrations. Several were received with almost identical messages of thanks as follows. We were struggling with our bicentennial program. We were deadlocked in controversy over allocating our meager financial resources to the many projects that we had been proposed. One night as we met in one of our committee meetings, we were trying to get our program moving forward when a representative of your church called and offered their support. They expressed their love for America and wanted to participate in its 200th birthday celebration. They suggested a program they wanted to sponsor, and much to our surprise, asked for no funding. The spirit of the group was carried forward into our meeting and literally saved our town celebration. Our message was heard loud and clear thanks to the Public Communications Organization. One of the most exciting sections of our scrapbook is under the label of Primary, our children's organization. Thousands of children during the last year have learned to appreciate this nation and what role they will play in preserving our great heritage. From flag-raising ceremonies to fairs, parades, instructions, poems, stories, essays, diaries, scrapbooks, posters, contests, and et cetera, they have learned to love our country. A special program was produced, Listen, My Children. It was a unique summer program that was put on over 4,000 times in different primaries throughout the land. I am thrilled in reading some of their original works. A beautiful book was received from the Salem, Oregon, North State, with hundreds of statements addressed to how I would like to celebrate the nation's 200th birthday. From the responses from some of the children were as follows. I would like to fly the flag and show my love for our country. I love you, America. I would like to have people love everyone and be kind on America's birthday and always. I would like to keep America clean and beautiful. Then, of course, this very interesting remark from a four-year-old. I would like to ride my tricycle, draw pictures, eat cake, and not take a nap on the 4th of July. Under the next three headings, youth, young adult, and special interest, we find pages full of their accomplishments. I group them as one because their activities were interwoven and familiar and similar. They were largely the participants in the dance festivals, 19 original dramatic productions, heritage fairs, bicentennial balls, etc. Most interesting to me was the host of activities participated in by these three organizations was their willingness to give volunteer service to the communities in which they lived. From all over America, articles with bold headings such as Youth Group Cleans Up the Canyon, Young Adult Organization Paints and Cleans Up the City Park, Special Interest Group Restores Historic Monuments. From our last survey of volunteer service hours made just before the 4th of July indicated that we had passed the 6 million man-hour mark of volunteer service. The majority of this service was contributed by our youth, young adult, and special interest groups. Our hats are off to you for your major accomplishment. We estimate today that we're between 7 and 8 million man-hours of volunteer service by members of the church since January 1st, 1976. We encourage you not to stop now. We expect to be over the 10 million man-hour mark by December 31st. I still see a need to fix up, clean up, and paint up to make America more beautiful. Yet another section is entitled Relief Society, our women's organization, illustrated with pictures, programs, songs, and poems. From their headquarters building located at 76 Main Street came forth a real spirit of 76. Our wives, our mothers, our single sisters put their tender hands on compresses to relieve suffering, industrious fingers to needles, brushes, pencils, and skillets to revive colonial beauty, to concert halls, chapels, amphitheaters to thrill our souls with music, to auditoriums, speakers' platforms, and classrooms, to remind us of the tender role of colonial women and the righteous leadership and thoughtful teaching which must continue to come from womanhood through all ages. With warmth, with love, we commend the Relief Society for well over 3,000 special events which contributed to our bicentennial. The scrapbook is too full to mention all of the organizations and events which have come from the church's contribution to this great celebration, to the general, regional, stake, ward, mission, district, and branch bicentennial committees. I congratulate you on a job well done. In my travels from coast to coast, I have not witnessed a finer performance than that which has been accomplished by the church. Your participation has left no doubt concerning your love for this great land and your determination to preserve its heritage. This report could not be concluded without a special tribute to the Great Tabernacle Choir. I knew before this summer that no one could stir the heartbeat of this land with patriotic music more than this organization. This summer, I was privileged to see a different side of you. I was with you for 6 days and nights as you toured Philadelphia, Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C. I watched 350 people, 1,400 pieces of luggage go through a tight and rigid schedule of pack, move, unpack, rehearse, perform over and over again with a spirit I've never before witnessed. You were happy even when weary, considerate even under pressure, dedicated, determined, and anxious to always be at your best, not for personal gain, but for the contribution you could make in building the Lord's kingdom with anthems, hymns, and songs. I have discovered your greatness. We know of your artistic talent, which is abundant, but it is in your spirit that I find no equal. May God's blessings continue to be with you to bring heavenly music to a troubled world. It was during one of your performances that I found the real spirit of the bicentennial. On the evening of July 3rd, with the Tabernacle Choir center stage, surrounded by noted personalities from sports, politics, stage, screen, radio, and television, and in the presence of our prophet and the president of our country, seated side by side, which seemed so significant and appropriate on the eve of our 200th birthday celebration, I witnessed a performance I will never forget. For down the ride aisle came a patriot soldier to tell us of the faith and courage required of him to give birth to a land of the free. Down the left aisle came a Mormon pioneer woman announcing herself to be Eliza R. Snow. She told of the industry and sacrifice required of her to build a nation. The theme had been forged to guide us through the next 100 years of a glorious history. First, faith in God, our eternal Father, to place our trust in Him as the foundation of all things. Second, to have courage to uphold righteousness and be a part of preserving it. Third, to be industrious and build for the future. Fourth, to learn to sacrifice willingly for a brother or sister in need. Now, for a brief moment, the pen is in our hands to mark the pages of history. Let us remember the spirit of this glorious celebration with renewed determination to perpetuate the gift of our great heritage. From the dust of an ancient record, we hear again the Lord's declaration to His children. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it, shall serve God, or shall be swept off in the fullness of His wrath. For this is the everlasting decree of God. As we start a new century, may it be a new beginning of governing with righteousness based on the eternal laws of God. I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.